You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the show today, Your Ultimate Life. You know, this is our fourth year, starting in 23, 24, 25, so this is 4 years. And I like this opportunity to talk with you about your dreams, your passions, your hopes, what you really want out of life. And, you know, I was on a coaching call this morning with a couple of clients, and part of the observation, both of them are writing books. And, you know, I've mentioned this before, and we'll talk more about it today, but I have a process that's infallible and fabulous, best there is, about helping people dig into their lives and write books. Write a book that matters. Write the book that encapsulates their passion and their dreams and their experiences and what they've learned and all that stuff, and to turn it into something they can use to help people to make money, to make a business if you want to, you know, that sort of thing. And I've helped people build masterminds and speaking careers, workshops, you know, all kinds of things. But anyway, what we were noticing, because all three of the people in this particular group were writing about their life experiences, and the topic came up of how much anger and frustration and negativity is in the world right now. I mean, we've recently had this terrible loss of life in Minnesota where that terrible thing happened, and, you know, I've seen some of the videos, and I certainly don't consider myself an expert. But regardless, it's just a tragic thing to have people get in such arguments that someone has to die over it. My wife showed me a video on Facebook today where somebody got in a fight, and it was hard for me to tell. Same issue. I think it was also in Minnesota. Hard for me to tell who was on what side, but it doesn't really matter. What hurts my heart is the anger and the fact that we, as a people, have gotten to the place where we are rabid enough about what we're doing that we beat people up and hurt people. So that's a sad thing. That's what we were talking about. And one of the authors was just expressing how deeply affected she was by this whole set of events and how much it affected her ability to focus, concentrate, to write, and so forth. And one of the reasons I enjoyed doing this show is because I always want to bring light and love. I'm never going to have an episode, at least I don't plan to, where we sit and we rag on people. These people did this wrong or you did that wrong. I don't find that productive. I don't find that it helps anyone, and it's certainly polarizing. My wife and I were in a restaurant in Phoenix years ago, in 2015, I think, and it was a networking group. That's what it was. It was a networking meeting, and we were just having a conversation with some people, and my wife said something that this other person disagreed with really strongly. This is, like I said, in Phoenix, and oh, boy, she just lit into my wife about, you know, she ignorant, and I don't remember what it was, but it was really insulting and left my wife pretty shaken up. What is up with us? I want to understand, and I want you to reflect in your own life, what is up with us that we find that the only way we have to, many enough people that it's really causing problems, we've got to convince other people that they're wrong and change their mind, or we have to hate them or be angry with them or unfriend them or exclude them or we can't talk to them. What happened to us? So anyway, my goal here is to bring some light and some love into this, because here's what I know. I don't care. This is Kellen talking. I don't care what side of any argument you're on. I love you. We can have a conversation, we can explore our different views, and we can talk about why they're different and what we think ought to have happen. But I certainly don't want to participate or live in a situation where you or I have to get out of a conversation angry or upset just because we have different views on things. And so my goal is always going to be to bring opportunity and love to any conversation, even with wildly different views, because here's what I know. The views that I have or that you have about a situation, whether it's immigration or political parties or religion or money or wealthy people or poor people or whatever it is, they're shaped by our past experience. And someone said a long time ago, as they saw a person being hauled off to jail, this was, I think, in England, 200 or 300 years ago, he commented, "There, but for the grace of God, go I." And obviously what he meant is, you know, under different circumstances, that could be me being hauled off to the stock or the gallows or, you know, jail or whatever it was. And someone else has observed that if you or I went through the very same set of circumstances and experiences that someone else has, there's a very good chance that we would have the same view of the world, that we would react and feel the way that they do. Not always, and it's not a perfect, you know, example of anything, but it's true. And so I find myself best served by listening a little more, or listening a lot more and asking questions just to make sure I understand really what's going on. The reason I gave this preamble here right now is because it makes me really sad that there's so much anger and bitterness in every television show, news channel, doesn't matter which one, is busy selecting guests, topics, lines of questioning, and so forth to draw out certain conclusions. And so it's really difficult to get the actual news anymore. One of the things that makes me really sad right now, not only in the U.S., and you guys know I live in Canada, so I'm not even part of that directly, although Joy and I are both U.S. citizens, is watching what's going on in the Middle East. You know, I don't know for sure, but 3,000 people is what I heard today, dead from protesting, trying to get some liberty and freedom and get out from under what, you know, what they feel like is an oppressive regime. And again, another so many thousand people. And you think about the war in Eastern Europe, 1 million people, more, maybe 2 million. I don't know. Numbers fly all over the place, but 1 million on each side, dead. Like, think of the futures that they could have had. And can't we do better? And the answer is, of course we can. But here's the thing. It's not going to happen by me pointing at you or you pointing at me and saying, you idiot, you fix this. You're stupid. I'm stupid. You know, that's not going to fix it. Love, kindness, tolerance, working together, that's the only thing that's going to fix it. So rather than just sit here and tell us all what we ought to do better, I want to talk about the most powerful way that I know to cause those kinds of changes to happen. This is the most powerful way. Now, we all know we can vote. If we live in a place where voting is available, and Canada is, U.S. is, and I know we've got listeners in other countries, but vote, get involved. You know, if you want to get politically active and go protest or march, fine. Those are one way, it's one way that we can do it, and will affect a small number of people. Will affect usually a small amount of change. But if you want to affect the largest change, you want to create the biggest ripple and the most impact, it isn't going to happen by making a spectacle of yourself. It isn't going to happen by getting 5 minutes of fame on TV. That isn't what it is. And I'll tell you what it is, and this comes from my own life, but it also comes from many, many clients, people that I've worked with over now decades, to help with this very same question. Because the thing that we were talking about this morning on the coaching call is, how the heck do we do something about this? We can all sit around and wring our hands and lament and be sad and be frustrated. And okay, that's a natural reaction to the hate and vitriol and pain that's going on around us. And here I am talking about the ultimate life, and I'm talking about purpose, prosperity, and joy. Well, here's my purpose. My purpose is to invite, guide, and lead 300 million people. Not 2, not 10, not 1,000, but 300 million people. Guide them where? To a fundamental truth that's eternal, and it's a truth of the universe. And it's illustrated by 5 letters, WIPOS. Your worth, your identity, your possibility, your ownership, and sovereignty. Your worth is infinite. There's no price we can put on the life of a person. Insurance companies do it because it's supposed to ease the loss, lost income, and that sort of stuff, but it doesn't come close. our identities are divine. We came from a divine place, and when we sit quietly, we know that. Our possibilities are endless and limitless. Now, they are constrained in some circumstances. Some people grow up in very, very difficult environments, or with physical or mental disabilities, or problems, struggles, limitations of some kind. I know that. But most of us have far more possibility than we ever take advantage of. The other, the O is ownership. Like, we own our thoughts and therefore our feelings and actions. When someone says, oh, you made me mad, that's just bullshit. Nobody made you anything. You chose to interpret, so did I. We chose to interpret something that made us upset. I got a friend who wrote a book called The 14-Day Anger Cure. I love it. I love that guy, too. He's a 40-year, he's retired now, but a 40-year internal medicine physician, worked at Johns Hopkins and some very prestigious places. And guess where he got this story? Out of his own life and experience dealing with anger and frustration and negativity to the point that it ruined multiple relationships for him and so forth. He learned how to cure anger, how to cure it. And in part of that process, and you could look it up, his name's Mort Orman, Dr. Mort Orman, 14-Day Anger Cure. I love his book and love him, by the way. But anyway, one of the fundamental premises is most anger comes from not knowing all of the truth, from faulty assumptions, and that underpins a lot of our misunderstanding. And we go on the idea that, well, we know it all, and anybody that doesn't agree with us is stupid. Well, that's just not true. And it's worse than not true. It's the genesis of a lot of pain, suffering, anger, violence, and the rest of the crap that we see going on. So I said I was going to tell you the most powerful way that you can change the world, that you can make a real difference. And here's what it is. Sharing your story. And what I mean by that, and you're going to say, yeah, I've heard all that before. Here's why. Because I don't care what I learn to do. I might be a mathematician, an accountant, an engineer, an attorney. and I might have been really good, learned how to do something really good. Learning how to do a thing is wonderful, and we might make a contribution to the world in that fashion. But the authority and power of your lived experience trumps that every time by a factor of 1,000. And here's the reason. It's not hard to understand. It captures the truth of your life, and that truth is powerful. Now, when I say this, I'm not talking to someone who has no interest in changing the world, has no interest in adding good to the world, has no interest in anything except forcing everybody to do what they, you know, I'm not talking to you. If you're in the idea of the force is the thing that works, this isn't for you. But if you are knowing that, like David Hawkins' book, Power Versus Force, that real power doesn't come from force, then this is absolutely for you. Let me help you understand why the story of your own life, I call it the story of your own becoming, because right this minute, you have real passion. You have passion about how you can change things, about how your own personal experiences could serve people. 1, 10, 100, 1,000, 1,000,000. You know that. When you sit and think about your own life, the things that have happened to you and beat the crap out of you and the successes you've had, although the grumpy stuff is usually, you know, hits harder and causes more change in us. When you think about what you've been through and what you now know, and what you now can do, the level of patience and courage and resilience and all of those good words that you have right now compared to what you used to have, it's way more now because of what you've been through. That's just always the case. What also is always true is when we go through that stuff, then we want to help. We want to be of service. We want to, you know, add good to the world. We want to help other people avoid those pitfalls and do good. And then, often, not always, but often, we want to figure out how we can serve with that in the community, in a business, start a business, et cetera, et cetera. And this is why I say sharing your story is so powerful, because your ability to share the truths that you have ripped out of the core of the hard knock school of life is easier now and better now than it's ever been. And I could say ever like a million evers, right? It's never been so easy. Publishing a book has never been so easy. Creating a course, launching a coaching program, getting, I just was talking to someone earlier today who's just now been accepted as a leader to go into a corporation and train 50 coaches on their own personal story, the stuff that I've taught you, or not taught you, but talked about here. So they wrote a book and they've got this system to help people with, you know, get centered and be better leaders and stuff. And this company's hired them. Hey, so they were just excited. It was on a coaching call I was on this morning, a different one. And she said, hey, I've got this to report, et cetera. And it's going to last the first quarter. So for the next 3 months, she's got this gig in this corporation. You know where it came from? It came from that story that she turned into a book that she was able to bring forward. So, and that happens all the time. That's not an exception. That's the rule. The cool thing is it's easier now than it's ever been. And you know why? We've got the internet. Now we've got AI, which lets you do things faster and better. I just finished a short book. Most of my books are longer, you know, 40, 50,000 words, kind of like this one. This is Coaching and the Rise of AI, my book that I published a month ago. And I was thinking, one of the things I do in my practice, my work is besides podcasting and writing books and, you know, composing and performing music, is I coach people about how to make money with their stories, with their life journey, with the stuff we've been talking about, how to write a book, how to create courses, how to serve, how to gather an audience, how to get a million views on YouTube, you know, all of the details that go with that. That's what I help people do so that they can spread a message. That's why I like having guests sometimes here on the show to spread your message. So interruption here for a sec. If you have a message you'd like to share here with this audience, you need to get a hold of me. Go to, not this one, this one, KellenFlukigerMedia.com. There's a contact form. Get a hold of me. Let's talk about your story, your learning, your passion, your desire to change the world. Let me help you. I'm volunteering. I want to help you do that. And it's something I've become really good at, which is why I have this goal of 300 million. Now, when I talk to people about this, they usually have several objections, but we're going to talk about one of those objections today. But before we dive in deep headfirst to the objection, I want to get firmly established in your mind that you are sitting on a gold mine. Your life story, your resilience, your struggles, your failures, the number of times you've been knocked down and got back up, that's a gold mine. Now, you may or may not mine it. You can do jack with it and it'll sit there forever, but it is. It is, it is, it is, it is, it is. Now, let's talk about why people choose not to do anything. And we're going to go into one of the main reasons that happens. And I'm going to try to help you understand that it's not true and get past it. Okay? Because here's what I know about this anger and bitterness and fighting and violence in the world. We need more examples. We need more people who stand up and say, hey, there's a better way. We need more people who write their own stories and stand up and say, you know what, there's a better way to be tolerant, to be loving, to be kind, to overcome death of a loved one or failure or resilience, to acquire resilience, to overcome self-doubt or overcome mental illness or depression or betrayal or, you know, all of those things can be overcome. And it is in that act of overcoming that we become tolerant, stronger, resilient, more loving, more forgiving, better people. And man, we need more of that. And if you don't know that, you know, just look around. Look around. Can you imagine just for a minute? Here's a story I tell. When I talk to people, what I see is a massive epidemic, and it ain't COVID. You know what it is? It's an epidemic of learned helplessness, addiction to mediocrity, and victim mindset. Now, learned helplessness is the idea that, well, I can't do anything about it anyway. And so we learn to be helpless and expect somebody to fix it, rescue us, et cetera, et cetera. And it's not necessary. You are infinitely creative and powerful. You've just learned to be helpless, maybe. I certainly have had my share of that in the past. Addiction to mediocrity is that shrug. So what? I can't do anything about it anyway. You know, who am I? One voice, whatever. That addiction to mediocrity, lots of people live there and you're free to do that, but it kills you slowly. You get more and more jaded and everything becomes just a shrug and you're hoping to get through the day, week, month, year, and then just hoping that somehow tomorrow, next year's better. But we just started a new year, so let's make this one better. And the other third one is victim mindset. Boy, there's an epidemic of that. I'm a victim of this. We've just had years of building up victim. Everybody is a victim of something. Garbage. Garbage. Take control of your life. Now, I want you to picture that. Maybe somebody you know, maybe you, or maybe you don't know anybody that has any of that. So then imagine a person with me who lives in their lives with a victim mindset. They're a victim. Everybody's, you know, hard done by. Addiction to mediocrity, right? And this learned helplessness. Now, imagine that person's life. If they did this, I see this guy behind my shoulder here. This guy, he's on a journey, and he's going toward that light, that's behind me. And I hope you're watching the video. But anyway, let's say he's going toward that marvelous light, and he's getting out of that soul-sucking swamp of addiction to mediocrity and victim mindset, learned helplessness. And you know where he's going? He's going to that bright, sunny meadow that you can see that's over the hill there. The hill behind it, behind me. And you can see him going. He's on that trip and he's moving quick. And that meadow, there has a name too, and it's called fierce life ownership. It is a mindset where we take ownership of our lives and we create what we want. Radical excellence and a passion to serve. Now, I want you to think about it. A person who used to live in victim mindset, you know, addiction to mediocrity, that kind of soul-sucking garbage. And then you move. You transport yourself and your heart and your love and your kindness to a meadow, a beautiful, marvelous, magical meadow where all you can see is you and others living with fierce life ownership, creating what you want, a passion to serve and lift and love each other. Radical excellence is the standard. What do you think is going to be different for somebody that made that trip? You or me or a man or a woman or anybody that went from that soul-sucking swamp to that beautiful meadow. Well, it doesn't take a genius to figure out all of a sudden they're going to be happier. They're going to feel better even when there's setbacks. They're going to have the idea that there's a way to fix it because there always is. So I want you to think about that journey. What if your story, what if your experiences are the key to helping someone or some 10 or some 1,000 people make that journey? Because here's what I know about writing all these books myself and helping many, many other people write books, tell their stories, create programs and stuff. There are thousands. There are thousands of people right this minute for whom your story, your learnings are the key to happiness. That's a fact. There are thousands of people who would love to hear how you did it, what you did, what you overcame, what choices you made, how you dealt with setbacks, how many times you fell on your face and got up anyway. Okay? So with that framework firmly established, I want to talk about one of the most insidious barriers that we come across. And that's this sentence here. Who am I to tell this? There's already been 20,000 books and 15 movies made about this thing, this hardship, this betrayal or divorce or addiction or bankruptcy or, you know, refugee status or whatever. There's been a million of those. Nobody cares about mine. Who am I to tell this? So we're going to spend the rest of our time talking about that lie. It's an absolute flipping stupid lie, and about how to get rid of it, because it's not true. Who am I to tell this? I'll tell you who you are. You're a winner. You're a person that's made it through, or you're still making it through, but you've determined not to quit. Not to quit. I had one of the ladies on one of my coaching calls this morning say that. She's going through some very difficult times right this minute, this day, this week, this month. And she said, you know, I'm just not going to quit. I'm just not that. That alone is a precious truth that you can give, express, share, coach, lead, bless somebody with that might save their life. You might think I'm kidding, but I'm not. I had a phone call many years ago from someone I didn't know, and I don't know how they got my phone number. And they were in a city in the East Coast. It doesn't matter which one, but a big city in the East. And at the time, I lived in Phoenix. And I was probably in my third or fourth year into this journey of becoming a coach and an author and stuff like that. And they expressed their deep depression and struggle and everything, right? And I wasn't as experienced as I am now, and I encouraged them to get help. And I spent 2 hours on the phone with them talking and everything else, doing everything that I knew how to do at the time, which is nowhere near what I know how to do now. And I hadn't written the books that I've written and et cetera, et cetera. But I found out, even after 2 hours and doing everything I could do, I found out a few days later that that person had taken their life. Now, it wasn't my fault, and I didn't know them to start with, and I still don't know how they got my phone number, but they did, and they knew me from some mastermind or some social media stuff. And I thought, of course, the question was, what else could I have done? And here's what I know. Maybe not in that circumstance, but there have been other circumstances where people tell me, you know, your story, your resilience, your willingness to talk, your love, your kindness, your forgiveness of yourself, overcoming this or that challenge, saved my life. So the idea that your personal story isn't valuable is not true. So the lie is, who am I to tell this? That is a lie. It is insidious. It is horrible. It is never true, ever, ever, ever. Under any circumstances, is it true? So here is who you are. You're a divine being. You're a child of God, whatever you perceive that to be. We all know that we came from somewhere, and we have a spirit or essence or energy in us, and you can call it whatever you want, but we have it and you know it. The second truth is that we're built to love and serve each other, and we feel good when we're doing that. So here's some things that I know for sure. To answer that question, who am I to tell this? I don't have authority. I don't have power. I don't have that good a story. It's already been told 1,000 times. Who am I shows up in all those insidious ways. So let me tell you who you are. It sounds humble, but it's not. It's fear masquerading as humility. We're afraid of being rejected, that somebody won't like it and won't listen. We'll get over it. There's going to be plenty of people that don't read your book or that leave a crappy review. I wrote a book, I've written many books. One of the books I wrote is Meeting God at the Door, because I died in 2018, and I had 3 conversations with God at the door between life and eternity. And, that, you know, it's on Amazon, and I've sold a bunch of those, et cetera, et cetera. And one person wrote, oh, it was so hard to get through, not very helpful. And, it's, you know, you're going to get those. So what? If I had all of those kind of reviews and one person, it helped. I win. Who am I? I'm the guy that helped that one. So are you. You're the gal that helped that one person. And so that's who you are to tell this. It's not humility. It's fear. There is somebody right now waiting to hear your voice and your story. And the idea that we have somebody else has already done all this a million times is true, and it doesn't matter, because there's somebody right now waiting for you. You and you alone and your voice and story can make the difference. So let's talk about where this lie comes from, because almost everybody has it. I've helped tons of people write books. You know that. We talk about it all the time, and that's what this is. DreamBuildWriteIt.com. At the end of February, which is about a month from now, 6 weeks, we're going to have another book challenge. The book challenge is a place where you can go It doesn't cost anything to attend the challenge, and we'll talk about how to write the book, how to figure out what matters in your life, how to mine your life for the right stories and the right things that you've learned and turn it into powerful stuff. So go there and sign up. Doesn't cost you anything. Just go there and get on the list and join us for that. So anyway, here's where the lie comes from. We live in a comparison culture. Social media has made that infinitely worse. We look at somebody, our old friends or people we don't even know on social, and we're like, oh, I wish I had their life, their money, their car, their whatever, you know, the highlight reel after highlight reel, right? And so we think, oh, I'm not good enough. They're better than me, right? I suck. I'm nothing. And we see that over and over again. Well, we already know that 90% of what's online is garbage, either exaggerated or patently false. I was in a meeting the other day, and I'm trying to think of where it was. I don't know. But anyway, somebody said, so what percentage of the stuff online do you think is true? And somebody tentatively kind of said, and again, this was fear of being wrong, right? Tentatively said, well, maybe 50-50. And 50-50 is as good a guess as any. And somebody else said, I don't know. I'm like 90-10, right? But the interesting thing was, the first person just had a little trepidation about being seen. We live in a comparison culture where this disease, where we're so worried about somebody else's opinion, what they might think, that we might be embarrassed, we might be wrong, we might be held up as stupid. You know what? Here's me voting for you to say your truth and risk it. I do that. I've learned to do that. I used to be terrified, beyond terrified of being wrong. So much so that one of the habits I developed was being a fabulous liar, because it was so important for me to control the narrative about what people think about a situation, about me, about what's going on. Didn't matter, that I got really good at weaving a narrative so I could protect myself. Well, it didn't work because I knew the truth. So that comparison and fear of being seen or being wrong is just nonsense. Another place this lie comes from, of who am I, is the idea of credentials, credential obsession. Every other ad on LinkedIn or Facebook's advertising to certify you as a hypnotherapist or a, you know, belief shifter or a dork stick. I saw an ad the other day on Facebook. Some dude or some gal, I think it was, sitting on a beach with a laptop. Oh, I'm going to be a life coach, work anywhere, change lives and everything. You know what? You need to read this book, Coaching and the Rise of AI. Coaching is going to completely radically change this year by Christmas coming up. 95% of coaches won't even be able to make a living unless we make some radical changes, which I outline in the book. And yeah, it's scary as hell unless you're willing to go with the new understanding about what it really takes to be in the people helping and services game. Anyway, credential obsession. I have people all the time that have said to me, well, I thought I needed another certificate. I know people that have accumulated 10, 12 certificates, this modality and that modality, and it's got nothing to do with anything, because love and the ability to be truthful and listen to people is what matters. Anyway, the lie comes from comparing. It comes from credential obsession. And here's a false, terrifyingly bad belief. The false belief that authority comes from external. It is granted externally. So we have degrees. Somebody gets a degree or a certificate or whatever, and that grants you some authority. You know what? I've worked with teachers and coaches who have all of those degrees, and they suck. They're terrible at teaching or coaching. They don't come across as believable. And so the degree doesn't do anything. The issue is your truth and sincerity. And that's why your story matters so much, because it is the one thing that you absolutely own without hesitation, without equivocation. It is your truth through and through, dyed in the wool, true blue, no matter what. You lived it, you know it, you own it. From that place, nobody can assail you. And if they do, they're full of crap because your truth and your experience is what you know. All right, another place that we want to talk about is the difference between authority and permission. You don't need permission to own your truth. You don't need permission to tell the truth. Truth carries its own power. Authority doesn't come from some external source. It comes through clarity and responsibility. So if you've had a difficult time and you take responsibility and you've done the resilient work to get to some place of power, you have authority. And you know what? You don't need to run around and claim it. You know people like this. You listen to them talk, and they're so busy telling you how many times they've been in this person's presence or to Necker Island where Branson lives or some other place, and they're busy dropping these hints, either name-dropping or place-dropping, because then that, you know, we're supposed to be impressed. And you know in your heart that it comes because they're trying to create authority by saying all that crap. And you also know at the same moment it's crap. Your personal story, your lived experience can never be crap because it's your own personal knowing. And owning that journey gives you authority. Now, it isn't going to land with everybody, and it can't. But for those that need you, your story, your learning, your path, your journey, man, who am I to tell the story? Well, the answer to that is you're the best there is. Who am I to tell this? The best there is. For them, for that group, for that particular set of circumstances, you're the best there is. And the fun thing is that there are so many people in the world that there are millions of people who you could help if you wanted to. Now, if I'm saying all this and you're thinking, what's he talking about? I don't give a crap. I don't want to do that. Okay. But you know what I notice? I've had, you know that our podcast now is up to, I don't know, I think I just recorded episode 1070 the other day. So, and I've interviewed, you know, at least half the episodes, 500-600 people, and people on this show and another show that I did years ago. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of people I've interviewed. Every single one of them, when they go through something difficult, one of the first things that happens is they're like, and then I knew I could help people, and I really want to help people avoid this pain and suffering. Whether it's, I have one lady who's a client, she said, I just want to help people navigate attending or getting advanced education. It seems so hard for them. And I know exactly how to do it, how to get scholarships and grants and whatever. And that was her passion. Guess why? Because it was her life experience. I know another lady who became an attorney later in life. And you know what she specializes in? She specializes in family law, so, you know, custody issues and stuff. But her specialty is men's rights, men's representation. Why? That was her story. Her son has had some difficulties, and I don't know the, you know, the story or whatever, but she saw injustice, and she said, I'm going to go to law school and fix that, and she did. Where did it come from? The passion, the purpose, the power? Her story, her experience, her lived experience. That's where your authority comes from. Authority emerges. It will be given to you freely when you speak with clarity and responsibility. Here's another thing to remember. Silence is not humility. It's avoidance disguised as virtue. Now, I'm not saying you got to carry a bullhorn or a sandwich board and stand on a street corner and scream. I don't find that to be very effective for anything, even though I've seen a lot of it, and so have you. If you watch any of the news over the last, clear since the 60s, well, I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. I was born in 1955. So all of the stuff that happened toward the end of the 60s and the Vietnam War and everything else, I lived through all that. Saw it, lived there in the middle of it, et cetera, et cetera. Didn't work very much then, doesn't work very much now. but your lived authority and your true experience are powerful beyond measure. All right, so here's another thing to think about. We've talked about the negative reasons why people think, who am I to tell this, that lie. Now, I'm going to give you another thing to think about. And this might offend you. And I don't really care. Because my goal here is to get you to come tell your story. DreamBuildWriteIt.com. Doesn't cost you anything, but it'll challenge you in powerful ways. It actually does cost you something. It costs you an hour a day for a week. And you'll come out of there on fire and with more passion and power than you can imagine. So here, I'm going to talk about your responsibility. Up to now, I've talked about your opportunity. You have the opportunity to create a business, change the world, and add good to the world. Now I'm going to frame it as a responsibility. You have had a certain road through life. Often when I talk to people, they said, you know, I had this set of challenges and this and this, and I had nobody there for me. Nobody was there to help me. I don't know if that's true or not, but it often feels like that. I've said the same thing because I've felt during much of my own personal set of challenges, which went on for decades, I didn't really have anybody to talk to or anybody to help me. Okay, and there would be people that argue that that's wrong. Doesn't matter. That's what I felt. When that's true, or we feel it's true, and then we overcome it anyway, we have a responsibility, you and me, to do what we can to help the person behind us, to help the person on the road behind us who's walking the same path, struggling with the same challenges, health challenges, financial challenges, relationship challenges, fidelity challenges, career challenges, self-doubt challenges, self-worth challenges. We owe it to ourselves and the success that we've had to give back. Now, you hear that a lot. Well, this is my way of giving back. The best way that you or I can give back is to share the story of our journey. People get rich and they give millions and billions of dollars, and that's wonderful. The most important and powerful, most of us won't be able to do that, be a philanthropist that gives billions of dollars. A few do, and that's fabulous. And their journey has brought them to the place where they do that. But most of us don't have billions of dollars to give away. Might have millions, but not billions. The most important thing we can give is our love, our time, and our story. Our encouragement, our experiences that come from the story of our own becoming. I want you to think about where you are right now. If you look at yourself and you look at how resilient you are, how capable you are, how powerful you are, how much you know, how much you really could be of help, like I want you to think about what you could do. If you were in exactly the right situation and had exactly the right audience, what you know, what you've experienced, what you've learned, the courage and resilience that you have developed in front of the right people right this minute, if you think about what you could do, you'd be trembling with excitement about how much of a difference you can make in the world. Now, I started this whole episode talking about the pain, the struggle, the bitterness, the violence, the anger, the vitriol, the name-calling, the lack of listening. You and I, we can make a difference in that. And the biggest tool isn't a bunch of money. It is our voice. It is our story. It is our conviction. It is the things we've learned by what we have suffered and struggled with. Those learnings are more precious than stacks of platinum bars. And in your heart, you know that. When I get interviewed a lot, I get interviewed a lot, but when I get interviewed, I often get the question, after I've talked about my decades of this, that, and the other, and this struggle and that, people ask often, well, if you could go back, what would you change? And my answer is always, I wouldn't change anything. And the reason isn't because I want bragging rights about having struggled with this, that, and the other. It's because it has made you and me who we are. We learn. We grow by what we struggle with and what we suffer. And the ideas that we don't have anything to offer and that we don't have power to make a difference is just nonsense. It's fear masquerading as humility or, you know, the other things we talked about. It's not true. So I invite you to consider who you might help. Now, as a peripheral to this, you can make a darn good living, too, as a speaker, as an author, as a coach, as a seminar leader, as a purveyor of power. Because when you get together the truth of what you've learned and lived through, you've got your powerhouse. Now, you know people that speak, you've seen them. You're one of them. You're just not doing it yet. You're one of them. You just haven't decided that you're going to take the invitation. Well, this is your invitation. DreamBuildWriteIt.com. Go there. But whether you do this one or not, don't put it off. Because you see the state of the world. It needs you and me as much as anything. My mission to reach 300 million people. Can you imagine a person who truly owns their worth, their identity as a divine being, maximizes their possibility, owns their life and quits blaming and outsourcing their growth, takes sovereign control over their attitudes and opinions? They would be completely changed. Well, 300 million people is my commitment to keep working, sharing, lifting, and leading. I invite you on the journey. I can't wait to hear your story. I can't wait to see how you are choosing to add good to the world. You matter, and you matter now. Now, it's up to you and me whether we're going to listen to this invitation, because you know you feel this. When I say this, you know you're feeling like, I've felt that before. I've been told that before. I should write a book. I should do this, that. You've heard it. You know it. And even if you've started down the road and you're doing things, are you really doing it to your max? Are you all in? Are you half-assing it? There's an opportunity running out of all of our ears to make a difference, to make a living, a good one, and to create meaning. Wealth, impact, and meaning. You already own the tools. They're already sitting in your toolbox. And the idea, who am I? Well, you're the best there is. You're all there is for those people waiting for you. All right. So why don't you answer this question? Instead of who am I to say this, who am I going to miss out? Who am I going to hurt if I don't share it? Who am I going to leave on the side of the road or in their own despair? Who is served if I don't share my story? Well, the answer, of course, is nobody. Who's waiting for you? Who needs to hear your comfort, your reassurance, your truth about the path through these difficulties? So that's the answer to one of the biggest things that get in people's way about sharing their stories. Who am I? Well, we've just answered that fully and completely. Now, I have three invitations. Number one, I want to talk about next episode. I'm not sure about the guest schedule. So the next time I'm solo with you, here's what we're going to talk about. How to extract this wisdom and power from your life. So all episode long, I've talked about the power you have and the amazing things you can have it. But what we're going to talk about next is how to do that. Because often people get stuck on, well, all right, I believe you, but how do I do it? Okay, so we'll talk about that. We'll take it apart and figure out how to extract the wisdom, the tools, the power, and the learning out of your life experience. Right now, I have three invitations. Number one, go to dreambuildwriteit.com and sign up for the challenge. Number two, if you want to talk, if you've already got a story you'd like to share, go to kellenflukigermedia.com and get a hold of me. There's a contact form there. And I find guests there because I want to share your story of resilience and growth. So that's the second invitation. The third and last invitation is this. If you know someone that isn't listening and that hasn't heard this, and share this. share this invitation, share this opportunity, be their friend, be their ears, excuse me, ears and eyes. Give them an opportunity to hear it. You be the invitation for them. Now, as we close today, I just want to tell you two things. One, I absolutely love you. I don't care where you are, where you've been, or what's going on in your life right now. I love you. You're a divine being, and my mission is to help you and help you do the things that you truly want to create in the world. The second thing and last thing that I want to say is this. It doesn't matter how many struggles you've been through. It doesn't matter how many times you've fallen down. It also doesn't matter how much you've succeeded. I talk to people that are so successful they're bleeding money. And they're still unhappy because they haven't chosen the path of service and love. They haven't chosen the give back muscle. They haven't chosen that yet. They haven't picked apart their life and found a way to serve. I invite you to do it. It's the most joyous road in the world. This trip this guy behind me is making from that swamp to the beautiful meadow is the most glorious journey we can make. I can tell you for sure. Without question, don't care where you're at, you can start right now and move forward on that journey to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.